Sellem is-selmi kollha għal dan il-programm ġdid, dan huwa l-ewwel programm, il-vjaġġ Uman tal-Kanċer. U jiena u żewġ kollegi oħra, Christian Colombo u Pauline Demek li kollha naħdmu l-università, iddeċidejna li nagħtu naqra daqatajn li l-vjaġġ Uman tal-Kanċer minħa tal-pazjent, minħa tat-tobba, minħa tal-familjari, minħa ta' counselors, minħa ta' professjonisti differenti, l-eżistenzjaliżmu, it-tifsira tal-ħajja, it-tifsira tad-dbatija, it-tifsira tal-mewt, it-tifsira tal-kura. Il-kanċer jikkawża 1.3 miljun mewt fis-sena fl-Ewropa. 6,000 minnhom huma tfal. U jaffettwa 2.7 miljun ruħ il-familjari, it-tfal li baqgħu ħajjin, il-ħajja tagħhom tinbidel. Dan il-programm ħansegu il-vjaġġ permezz ta' konverzazzjonijiet ma' nies differenti kif semmejt iżjed qabel. Naraw u nisimgħu ħsibijiet għalfejn il-mart, għalfejn il-mewt, il-ħajja, l-appoġġ, il-trattament, alla jeżisti jew le jew abbandunani, il-fidi tgħinni jew tfixkinni. Għalfejn qed ngħix, għalfejn m'ammux malaj, għalfejn semmut. Imrat, il-biża, l-isperanza jew le, il-waħdi, is-solitudni, l-erf li forsi tini jew tatina, il-marda u l-għajnuna li tuna n-nies. Illum għandna magħna lit-tabiba Donna Metaraku li hija speċjalista fl-onkoloġija. Ħanitkellmu bl-Ingliż għax Donna hija persuna barranija imma tant ilha Malta issa ilha xi 20 sena Malta li tfaqqat ngħid bil-Malti. Donna, I will ask you first question which maybe is a bit relative to your profession. Why not ophthalmology? Why not pediatrics? Why not GP? What got you to oncology?
Okay. Thank you, Jenny, for inviting me to this program. I really appreciate it. It's my first time. So, oncology, or maybe dealing with cancer patients, as you mentioned, it's not an easy task. And you'll be wondering why doctors, you know, do the oncology, why do they, you know, choose this specialty? But first of all, the doctors, you know, there's like a vocation. I mean, you're there to help patients, you help to treat diseases, you're there to diagnose and cure. And cancer is becoming very common now, and is a very complex disease. So you need people to know it well, you know, to know what is happening, to know the disease itself, the biology, what to expect, what treatment. And you have to know even the emotions of the patient. So in a way, you help patients in a very complex situation. So it's something that you have some satisfaction as well from this.
So in a way, you're saying that it touches the different aspects of the personality, the patient,
the condition, the disease. And you see the patient as an holistic
being,
and it's not only the disease.
How do you break bad news? Or good news? Would there be bad or good?
Yes, I mean, the bad news, the most difficult is when the problem is when the cancer comes back. So that is not easy. It's not easy. But with experience, you learn, you need to be prepared to give even the support. So you give the bad news, and then you have to express how you can support. So to tell the patient that there is this, but we can support you in some way.
Medically, so, you mean,
medically,
for example. And psychologically,
Now, we have a team now. I mean, things have improved
quite a lot in the hospital,
and I've been working for many years, and you see the difference, you know, how things have evolved. You have a lot of support, psychological support, occupational therapy, physiotherapy. So it's we are tackling this disease in a different way now. So the support is much better for us and for patient.
What would the patient do when you tell him, listen, for example, your cancer has returned, you have a new tumor? How do patients react? I'm sure it's different, but what strikes you?
Yes, it is. I mean, it's very personal, because you'll see that the type of the patient, you know, the age, the family support. I mean, it's not the same for all the patients. But most of the patients, they will say how bad it is. And what can I do about it? Am I going to die soon, or am I going to live longer? Or
they will ask.
They will ask. Yes, yes, yes. They will ask. Lots of patients will ask. Now the generation has changed. There is more information. There is a lot of social media, internet. There are. I mean, if they are at a certain age, children as well help the parents, give them information.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. It is. It is easier than 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Ages ago, or maybe 30, 40 years ago, we used to use words like felula, arenita, shadow, del, you know, and everybody, as soon as you hear shadow, del, or whatever, these kind of language, you say, oh, I have that. They don't even say the word cancer. Do you see that this has changed sociologically?
Yes, yes, yes. This has changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because if now we speak more about cancer,
mm-hmm.
we have more information on the media, more information, you see, even adverts, you see, even the programs like this, for example, or mm-hmm. I think even other programs.
Or like even health promotion.
Health promotion.
We're not afraid of saying cancer or cancer anymore.
No, not. Because it's becoming like a chronic condition. It's a very common,
mm-hmm.
it's very common condition. And people live longer, so you have more chance to develop a cancer in
mm-hmm.
your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it all depends, maybe. There are very, very few patients now who still like not to mention the word cancer. And you respect that, because maybe that's the way how they would like to call the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll understand that they don't like to talk about, you know, that it's cancer, but it's a felula, or there is a shadow, or there is a boccia, or there is...
So it might also depend on the age. Maybe
a
75, 80-year-old will have language, and a 60, and a 40, and a 20-year-old will have other language.
So,
and we have the word tumor as well, which is a very good word, and easier than maybe cancer or cancer, because in Maltese, il kelma cancer è awija.
Yes, I think it's international, because it's related with a serious condition.
Mm-hmm.
So... you're afraid to talk about, to mention it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Would you realize that people's perspective changes, like if you have a patient for about 5 or 6 or 7 years? Do you see changes in their outlook on life, in their dealing with their cancer?
Yes. I mean, people change, they get transformed, but the life experiences, they will change you.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it depends very much on the support of their support, family support.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, of course, they are transformed, they change. They'll have more information about the disease, and now we have new therapies as well. So there is some more hope,
mm-hmm.
not the patient. So there is an open discussion.
You mentioned two very important ones, the relatives. Who gives you most trouble? I mean, I work in schools, so I used to say that parents give us trouble, the children don't give us trouble. So I wonder if relatives at hospital give trouble or are supportive, or is it the patient who gives trouble? I don't mean that they are devils or something, but, you know, it took kedda, we say in Maltese. They give you a bit of hassle.
Yeah, I mean, there are the Maltese culture. I mean, there's very family oriented. I find it that they're very supportive to their family members, and they always want to be present. But there is also some interference as well.
Mm.
You know, like if the patient doesn't want treatment and they force him to have treatment,
mm-hmm.
or if they are reluctant to do something, they force them to do something, or the other way around. So the family dynamic is different,
mm-hmm.
but in general, it's supportive.
How have you learned to tackle these people, the family? Okay, COVID has given you some freedom now from the relatives,
yes.
because I suppose you will only see the patient, or if somebody has difficulties with mental health, you
yes.
might see a relative. How have you learned to cope?
If I see that there is a good family support, I really appreciate the support, mm-hmm. because the cancer journey, you should have support. So it's very important. To have, so it would be family, friends, or neighbors, so it's very important to have support. If there is a problem, or it doesn't exist, or there is a problem, luckily now we have a team, a multidisciplinary team. So we have occupational therapy, social service, we have mm-hmm. psychologists, We have hospice. So
the cancer platform.
The cancer
from
platform.
EMCC.
So mm-hmm. it is. It's like I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm. Would you have been alone? I don't know. Some years ago, when you first started working in this field,
it was. I was alone because we didn't have the service in place. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I would lack even if the patient needed some extra physiotherapy or occupational therapy, or they need even transport, for example.
Yes,
I wasn't able to help
but because now you didn't have.
I didn't have the service, so I'm going to refer the patient to where.
So now you have where to refer the patient,
and it's even easier.
Like you said, the multidisciplinary.
Yes, there's a network. Yes, the multidisciplinary effort. So. It has its, you know, it's not everything, you know, flowers, and we have some ups and downs. But overall, it is quite efficient mm-hmm. Process, and it's very helpful.
Yes. How has this experience of working with people who have losses along the way? I mean, not everybody dies in 1 year. Some people last for 25 years, thank God. But eventually, as we said, we all die. But how has working with this speciality changed or given you a perspective of your own life and your own friends and situations in your families? A tough one.
You might find it, maybe people will find it strange, but it's an enrichment. Mm-hmm. Because you have a professional growth and the growth as a personal person. Because you see different experiences, difficult situation, and you're there to help. And you experience this. I mean, you're not there completely, but you are experiencing the pain or the sadness of the patient, the journey of the cancer of the patient, even mm-hmm. not only medically, but even emotionally. Mm-hmm. And our patients, they appreciate our help. So I really value mm-hmm. this, you know, the response mm-hmm. from the patients, from the family, and I appreciate even small things in life. Mm-hmm. So I'm very happy only with the praise from patients, and I'm happy when the patient has a remission, or the patient mm-hmm. is being well, have a good quality of life, has a prolonged survival, and that has changed me that these are important things in life. There might be little things. Mm-hmm. But these are things that we should appreciate in life, and it has made me a better person, I think.
Mm-hmm. And do the people around you realize, or they think you're crazy?
No, I think they do.
Yes, because sometimes people will say, "But why did you do this job? Why did you get there?" But as you said, it was your speciality, it was your choice, and you've been there quite a number of years. How do you see the patient changing when they have these losses, you know, these slow losses? Because it's not, I'm here today, gone tomorrow. It could be like that, you know, with a heart attack. But what about the slow progression, or maybe fast sometimes? Mm-hmm. It could take 2-3 years, or it could take. How do you cope with this, and how do patients cope with this?
I mean, the patients have a rough experience. There are some who just go down for a bit, they're depressed, mm-hmm. and to be very difficult to accept changes. Mm-hmm. They need to have a lot of support. This is
and
where
sadness.
It comes, the multidisciplinary team.
Sadness would be overwhelming.
Overwhelming, and why me? And mm-hmm. there are a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not only the physical ability, but there are a lot of losses, like out of the job, or... Sure. Because you have to attend the hospital regularly. You can't attend family events. You miss children's events, or you miss other events. So,
financial changes.
Financial
maybe
changes.
Your job has to be reduced hours.
So mm-hmm. it is. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. So that's why where we come with the multidisciplinary support. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a relief that you have the multidisciplinary team, because
many years ago
the doctor would have been on his own or on her own, as you're saying. Now it's true, there is this service which is advertised even on the billboards on the road, you know, as you're driving. Health promotion would talk about these things. How do people cope with waiting? Or do they get fed up? Waiting, not if they have an appointment and they wait 20 minutes or 40 minutes, which sometimes happens, I'm sure. But how do they cope with, for example, I had my PET scan yesterday and then I have my outpatients in 3 weeks' time. How do people express it? They tell you, "Dot, hey, kem ħal lejt ninistenna," or are they saying, it seems to be a kind system, or is there annoyance or frustration?
There are, most of the patient would reach us before, in a way or another.
In one way or another, yes, with internet, with WhatsApp, emails.
Phone calls, emails, relatives, and... But if we have something like a burning issue, we give appointment early.
Moves quickly.
Yes. And now we get notified as well from the radiology department if there is a problem. So we'll draw our attention. If there is a result, just like a routine follow-up and the result is normal, there is no urgency. But still, however, patient will contact us for the result. And there is the anxiety. I mean, every test includes the anxiety.
Yes.
So... this you cannot avoid, and it's different for different patient.
Yes. When you're working with patients, say, under 40, young woman with two children, young man with three children, or whatever, and an older person, I'm not being disrespectful to our listeners or to their relatives, but I'm not sure how you would experience the illness or the death or the fast progression of a younger person.
Well, there are different needs. I think is maybe it's maybe different for me, but it's the same for patients because they're even and you know an older age, they still experience the same. They have a lot of fear.
Yes, yes, fear.
A lot of unsettled things. Their life. The younger patient, they will have a lot of hope, and there is. It's not easy to accept.
Yes, I remember caring for a friend of mine who eventually died. And I remember trying to nicely tell him, we were both quite young, we were in our 40s. And I told him, "Have you made a will?" And he said, "Don't go there. Death is not an option." He was a young man with three children.
Yes. It's not, it's
so
not
as
easy.
You're saying,
yes.
Younger people have this sort of invincibility. But
and they hope in a miracle.
Yes, but it doesn't always happen.
It doesn't happen, and so it's difficult to accept the reality. It would be better to accept the reality, so you'll settle things. But it's not an easy situation. So,
I wonder about hope or hopelessness. How do you, as a person or as a doctor, and how do patients cope with it?
It's very important to give information because I always will tell the patient that this is the situation and we might not have cure, but we can prolong and we can control it for many years. And you'll be always on medication and you can carry on with your life. So that is a hope. Sometimes it's hard for them to accept that there's no cure. But I mean, you have to be honest with the patient. If the patient is ready to have the information, you just have to be honest and explain.
And as you said, sometimes there is no cure, just remission. But also, you need to explain that stability is more important than cure.
It's more important because this is our aim now to... We're transforming cancer in a chronic condition. It's like you need to have your blood pressure tablets, you need to have the insulin for diabetes.
It's true.
So it's becoming in this way.
It's in that category of illnesses.
In that category. So you need to, because there's a lot of fear that will say that I have cancer and there will be, you know, I will die of it. I mean, I have a serious condition. So my mind is always there. The fear is always there. It's not easy, you know, to get your mind away from it.
Would you have had conversations about God or not God?
Not in depth. Not in depth. Because it requires a lot of time. And during the outpatient clinics, and we're a bit limited with time, and maybe my knowledge is not so in-depth, you know, about God and religion.
But do people say, ek ya kallaj rit, or
shamilli
Allah, walla nesini, you know, what God forgot me and all this. They speak like that?
They'll speak. Sometimes they'll say that with God's will, or, you know, if God wants this. So it's just their way, how they're coping with the situation.
Mm-hmm. And we've mentioned a lot of important psychological concepts like anxiety, hope, hopelessness, tired. How do you cope with the tiredness of this
situation? That is very difficult.
Your tiredness now, not the patient.
My tiredness. Okay.
I'm sure working hard is tiring. What do you do to rest?
I just go for walks sometimes.
Nature?
Yes, nature. And traveling when I can.
Do you sleep at night?
I do, yes.
Good. Wonderful. So that in the morning you can face the patients again.
I do not have that problem yet.
Yes. have you ever had an experience where people were very grateful or very angry?
I did have people who were angry, but mostly very grateful. Mm-hmm. So that's the satisfaction, my job.
Yes, yes.
I mean, there are people who are angry sometimes. It's because maybe they're not angry with me.
But you are in the middle, sort of.
I'm in the middle. Or maybe they're angry because the cancer came back and we haven't done anything about it. Or why did it come back?
Or they feel disappointed that you didn't do your best. Or if she called me a week ago, I might have been safer. You know, people have these ideas that you are there. And sometimes you leave me waiting.
Or they will tell me, I had this chemotherapy for nothing, because it didn't help very much. Mm-hmm. You know, they're disappointed that the treatment outcome wasn't like we had hoped. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, very, very rarely they are angry. Most of the time they're very grateful.
If you were not a doctor, what would you have done in life?
A teacher.
And what would you have taught?
Science.
Wonderful. And would you have been a good teacher?
I think so. Maybe too soft. Not a strict one.
Very kind teacher. So probably you must be a very kind doctor.
Thank you.
Okay. Donna, thank you very much for coming and for giving us your experience as a professional and also as a human relationship with the patient. We thank you very much for your work. We wish you well.
Thank you, Jenny.
We are using the song Stand By Me, Hanet Le Palmaltis. Et nuzawis il-kanzunetta ta' Ben E. King li ja Stand By Me, naħseb nofs id-dinja tafa, u nibdu bija u nalqu bija. U koll nirringrazzjaw il-Dr. Donna Metaraku li onkologista li ġiet magħna biex tagħtina l-ħsibijiet tagħha. Jinnu Donna tkellimna ħafna fuq din, hope is always the last thing to die. Ija sej Ingliż namparlaw tinstema naqra vojta, but if we really believe it, maybe jak veru nemnuha, għanqela pal-Malti, jak veru nemnuha, forsi il-personi ikunu iktar bisperanza. U matem il-kanzunetta ta' Franco Califano, li la speranza non costa niente, forsi din iridu n-investu fija.
Jina ġeni Zammit, mistidinkom biex tkunu magħna għat-tieni program.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, and the mountains should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, no, I won't shed a tear, just as long as as you stand by me. By me, always stand.